Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Join us for a journey as we go back to the great civilizations of the past. Who were the people? What were they like? How did they begin? And how did they end? Let's find out on episode 85 of the Fan of History podcast, Ea Nasir.
Hi, I'm Dan. I'm the fan of history, and with me is another fan of history. It's Alba. Hi, Alba.
Hey, Dan.
Hi. She is the first Swedish co-host on this show, so now we'll be using Swenglish everywhere.
Amazing.
Yes. So this is a one-off episode. We got this idea, and we have done some work on some Swedish podcasts earlier, like Isfolket and stuff. Mm-hmm. But before we start, I wanted to ask you about your interest for history. What's your favorite periods?
I mean, right now it's probably Regency, so early 1800s. I'm doing some reenactment, or mostly, you know, partying, dressed up.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm really fascinated by all of it.
Yeah. What kind of clothes do they wear on the period?
Sort of Regency clothing. I can't even.
Yeah, the English terms for the clothes are like...
No, I know. I know them all. But I don't trust you to understand my description of clothes. Sorry.
But do you trust the listeners?
I trust them to Google it.
Okay. The thing we're going to talk about today is the earliest known written complaint in world history. This is way earlier than the periods we've covered in the main narrative on this podcast. We've been to 200,000 BC, but this is from 1750 BC. It is a clay tablet. It's from Babylon before the Dark Ages, when they still wrote everything down. And the tablet itself is a complaint to a merchant named Ea Nasir. Would you pronounce it like that in English?
I have no idea. I think in my head it's Ea Nasir, but I haven't really looked it up or anything.
Okay. Ea Nasir. That sounds more Babylonian. Let's go with that. And the complaint is to this merchant from a customer named Nani. It's written in cuneiform, and it is believed to be the oldest complaint letter ever written. And it's currently kept in the British Museum. So the background to the whole thing is that Ea Nasir traveled to the Persian Gulf to buy copper and returned to sell it in Mesopotamia. On one particular occasion, he had agreed to sell copper ingots to this Nani dude. Nanny sent his servant with the money to complete the transaction. So he left the money, got the copper, the servant returned with the copper, but it was substandard copper and not accepted. Remember, we don't have any money at this point, so you... it's no coins, some sort. I don't know what the payment was.
You didn't have money yet?
No, money is an invention of the like 7th century BC.
I wonder what he paid with.
Probably but something else valuable.
Yeah.
But this was not the copper that was supposed to be delivered. So in response, Nanny wrote this cuneiform letter for delivery to Enasir. Inscribed on it is a complaint about the copper ore delivery, its incorrect grade, and issues with another delivery. He also complained that this servant who handled the transaction had been treated rudely. He stated at the time of writing he had not accepted the copper, but he had paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
The tablet itself is very small. I'm surprised that this text actually fits on the tablet.
Yeah, it seems to be a very versatile, like, written language.
It is incredibly difficult to learn. You have to spend your entire life learning to write this.
My sudden dream of learning it just died again.
Yeah, they have like specific scribes that have been taught from birth to read and write this. But the tablet is only 11.6 centimeters high, 5 centimeters wide, and 2.6 centimeters thick. That's sort of like phone, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, sort of, yeah.
Ah, but it has this enormous wall of complaining text. And now I will give you the honor to read the text itself. So this is the text of the actual tablet.
Tell Ianasir, Nanny sends the following message. When you came, you said to me as follows. I will give Gimilsin, when he comes, fine quality copper ingots. You left then, but you did not do what you promised me. You put ingots, which were not good, before my messenger sits in, and said, if you want to take them. If you do not want to take them, go away. What do you take me for, that you treat somebody like me with such contempt? I have sent as messengers, gentlemen like ourselves, to collect a bag with my money, deposited with you, but you have treated me with contempt by sending them back to me empty-handed several times, and that through enemy territory. Is there anyone among the merchants who trade with Telmon who has treated me in this way? You alone treat my messenger with contempt. On account of that one trifling mina of silver which I owe you, you feel free to speak to me in such a way, while I have given to the palace on your behalf 1,080 pounds of copper, and Umi Abum has likewise given 1,080 pounds of copper, apart from what we both have written on the sealed tablet to be kept in the Temple of Samas. How have you treated me for that copper? You have withheld my money bag from me in enemy territory. It is now up to you to restore my money to me in full. Take cognizance that from now on I will not accept here any copper from you that is not of fine quality. I shall from now on select and take the ingots individually in my own yard, and I shall exercise against you my right of rejection because you have treated me with contempt.
And this translation is by Leo Oppenheim, some work of his called The Letters from Mesopotamia. The tablet itself is in the British Museum since 1953. It was found in the ruins of Ur. But this gives us some insight in the Babylonian economy. We don't know where Nanny is, right?
No, I certainly don't, at least.
No. Finding it in Ur probably means that Ianasir was in Ur.
Yeah.
And we are talking pounds of copper, 1,000 pounds of copper.
And 80.
Yeah, it's a ton of copper. His pounds of copper plus this other guy's pounds of copper, that's a ton of copper. And it seems that they are paying in silver. That's my interpretation.
Yeah. And they say money here, but I don't know if that's... You said they didn't have money. I don't know if that's a translation thing or something.
I think it's probably silver.
Yeah.
That's what I would guess.
Yeah.
Like some amount of
silver. One mina of silver.
Yeah. But And it seems that they're using the Temple of Hamas as some sort of intermediary for this transaction.
Yeah.
I find the whole letter very mild, right? He's being treated like crap by Nasir time and time again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if probably it might be have some sort of like formal language when everything goes through scribes. Maybe you're a bit more formal. I don't
yes,
know.
Yes, probably.
But it's... I think it's just amazing. And who is Ian Nasir who saved all these letters? Because yeah. we've only found them because he saved them.
Yeah.
It's like someone, I don't know, printing out bad Yelp reviews. It's amazing. I love it. It's the whole, you know, people were people all along thing.
Yeah. The thing with the clay tablets are is a lot, they are mostly, you can't reuse them, mm-hmm. and they are sort of cool because they are hard to make, so they have found millions and millions of these things in Mesopotamia.
Yeah.
And they are, but most of them are much later than this. This is a very early tablet. So that's what we know. That's our only source for the real story. But an interesting thing is the world of fan fiction. And this letter has inspired fan fiction writers to go deeper into the subject in fiction and imagine stories about this nasty merchant that are cheating people.
Yeah.
And you are pretty much into fan fiction.
Yeah. I mean, transformative fiction in any way is really interesting.
What does transformative fiction mean?
Taking a piece of fiction and transforming it. Yeah. So fan fiction is the current version of it, but I mean, it's always been there. I mean, a lot of Shakespeare's plays are transformative fiction.
Of Roman sources, right?
Yes, exactly, and folk tales and stuff. And then a lot of later literary books are transformative fiction on Shakespeare's plays.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's always been around, and the sort of fan fiction published on the internet nowadays has a bit lower status. Really, it's a fascinating phenomenon.
Absolutely. I'm thinking of, like, Harry Potter fan fiction for some reason.
Yeah, there's... I should have the numbers now because it's just staggering the amount of fan fiction stories that are written about Harry Potter. It's in the millions.
I believe you.
Yeah. And for Ian Nasir, I found seven.
Seven fan
seven
fiction
stories. It's amazing. On the one site I've looked, there might be more out there.
Yeah. Is this a thing for historic subjects as well?
Oh, definitely.
So there are fan fictions about Julius Caesar and...
Oh, definitely. I mean, Julius Caesar is also, I mean, been featured in other fiction.
Yeah, of course.
So, of course, there's fan fiction on him. I mean, there's fan fiction on the Bible, both literary and the sort of fan fiction on the internet.
Yeah.
Type thing.
But this seems like a pretty narrow historical subject.
Yeah, and this these particular are mostly a part of a small challenge when you intentionally pick a small source material or something that hasn't got a lot of fan fiction written about it and you write about it. But I've also read, and I think I've sent that to you, a wonderful... Do you know the Old Spice advert? The Old Spice commercial with a dude who comes up and is like, I'm on a horse. This is what your man would smell like if he
was...
Oh,
yeah, now I remember.
I've read In the Style of Beowulf.
Okay.
Perfect language. The language of Beowulf and Old Spice commercial.
Wow.
It's just amazing because a lot of these people, I mean, they're geeks, they're Harry Potter geeks, but they're also geeky for... like the real things as well.
Yeah.
These are amazingly intelligent people and their capability for research just staggers me.
So where do you go if you want to see historic fan fiction?
I mean, Archive of Our Own is a good place.
Yeah. We'll put some links in the show notes.
Yeah. And just, I mean, Google it. What's the worst that could happen? Naked people is the worst that could happen.
Yes, doing strange things to each other.
And, of course, there is even fan fiction about Ian Nasir and Nani resolving this in a carnal way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We wanted to give you a couple of examples of the fan fiction about Ian Nasir. And we'll start with me reading a short story named The Unsent Letter. Its writer is anonymous, so we can't credit the writer, but that is what the writer intended. And yes, so this is the story, The Unsent Letter. Nani looked over the copper ingots one more time, hoping that by some miracle the substandard metal would miraculously have become the right grade when he inspected them again. No, the wet clay in his servant's hands took his angry slashes as he wrote. "Sir," said Sitzin, with a hint of that mild amusement Nani officially couldn't approve of and encouraged every.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Every day, you cannot send a tablet saying, Ian Nasir is a jackal bastard, repeated 20 times. Ian Nasir is a jackal bastard. Yes, sir. And he treated you shamefully. Yes, sir. I have views about that. I know, sir, and I appreciate that you do. But if I may suggest, you should state those views more specifically, and without calling him a jackal's bastard. Sitzin saw Nani's eyes gleam and added, or a vulture's withered testicle. You never know who will read this later. Nani threw up his hands. Fine, you always know best. Take this one back to be cleaned and bring me a fresh tablet. We can write something more diplomatic. Good idea, sir. He's still a jackal's bastard, though. Yes, sir. I know. So, and that's why the letter turned out so diplomatic in the end.
Yeah.
And the next one is
pretty much the same setup. These are both, like, what would have gone on before the writing of this tablet that we've read to you. And this one is called Return to Sender, also by an anonymous writer, who notes that it probably contains historical inaccuracies, working with wiki-level knowledge here, which I think is really cute. No, I really like the sort of disclaimers they put in.
Gör det.
So, Ianassir said this to you, Nanny raved, pacing back and forth in the yard. These are the words he spoke to my honorable messenger. Sitsin did not answer, for he had related to his master several times already the words Ianassir had spoken to him today. Instead, he stretched his tired feet in the dust as he sat in the shade of the wall and watched Nanny pace. Nanny paced so much, Sinsin thought, without much respect, that he might cover the entire distance to Ianassir's house and back himself several times in total, much as his faithful servant had. After muttering to himself for several minutes, Nanny approached his servant again. And when he sent you away, without giving you the money bag I left with him, what was his manner? Describe it to me. Was he polite to you when he asked you to go, or did he treat you with contempt? Ianassir was not, he admitted, for he was a trustworthy man and could not lie. Very polite. He was not very polite to you. Nanny threw up his hands and began shouting again. How could he not be polite to you? Are you not a respectable servant from a good house? Did you not carry faithfully the message from your master through enemy territory to the house of Ianassir? Sitsin sat up straight, sensing that his master's sympathy might be stirred on his behalf. I did. The territory I must cross is very dangerous to travellers, and it rained half the journey until I came here. It rained! And did Ianassir invite you into his house to dry yourself and rest? Well, he did let me rest beneath the trees in his courtyard, but only for a very short time. You see? You see? Only a short time! Ianassir! Who is he to treat my servant with such contempt? And after it had rained? Yeah, I was quite tired after making the journey through enemy territory. I was even chased once by a dog. A dog chased you? Nanny was clearly dismayed. He was a good man to serve, in truth. And after all this, still the dishonourable Ianassir treats you with contempt and sends you away empty-handed? So, must I return to Ianassir tomorrow? He asked, confident that he knew the answer to this question. Of course you must return to Ianassir tomorrow, Nanny cried. The servant stared at his master. I must. And you must tell him. No, but there is too much I want to say to Ianassir. This will not work. You are a good and respectful servant, and this message to Ianassir must, of necessity, be delivered in the most direct and forceful manner if he is to take heed. Sitsin was greatly cheered to hear this. Then you will make the journey yourself? No, that will not be necessary. I will tell you what I will do. I will have the message written in clay, and you will carry the tablet thus to Ianassir and put it in his hands. That will be much better. He will read it, and he will know my mind, and that I am not one to treat with the contempt. Ianassir will then certainly give me back the money bag I left with him. And he will never again deliver to me copper ingots of such poor quality. Nanny nodded firmly. Yes, this is what I will do. Where is my scribe? Nanny left the yard, calling for his scribe, while Sitsin sat morosely and hoped it would not rain tomorrow.
Very good. rain in Mesopotamia is very rare.
Mm-hmm.
That I remembered.
That might be the slight historical... Maybe it rained.
We don't know the distance between them. That's interesting. There is enemy territory, but is this like three bad blocks of street? Or is it a different city?
Yeah, I really like that phrase. Enemy territory is very evocative.
Yeah, well, is this Nanny living in Syria? Sending through Arab bandits or something? Well, that's, yeah. That's maybe anachronistic. But so we did look at two, or you did look at two other longer stories.
Yeah.
But they're a bit too long to take in their entirety. At least that's what we decided. You might want to hear them. Then you have to tell us what you think about this subject of historic fanfiction. We could do more about this. But I will let you summarize the other two.
Yeah, because I really want to talk a bit, especially about this one, which is called Say to Them by Mayhap. And we're going to put in a link, right?
Yes. We'll link to all these four.
Because whereas the other one was... they all even put in a note where this might be historical inaccurate. This person really went off the deep end with the research. And that's that's the sort of fascinating thing with fan fiction, because it can lead you to, in order to write better, just research the crap out of stuff. It's just amazing. I've seen like notes on other fan fiction which is like, okay, so the actual book canon might be a bit weird here, I don't even know, but all the facts about eels are scientifically correct, and people go really get really into the research to make the stories as good as possible. So this person, by writing this, learned a lot and has put in like a whole page of notes afterwards with references to books and like places to study further, and really go read it, because it's a beautiful piece of writing, speaking about five people coming to the scribe asking to have letters written that in one way or another relates to Ianasir. So there's one person who's out at sea with him, and like it's so beautifully written, really. It's just amazing. And it's called Say to Them, because all the tablets, pretty much all the tablets, started with, so say to this and this person, because it's supposed to be written by a scribe and then read by another scribe.
Yeah.
So they always sort of address another person than the one who's reading it.
Yeah, that's logical, because no merchant could read. It's just only the scribes. No kings could read.
Yes, exactly. And so this is just a small snippet of the fan fiction. Do you want to send a reply to Nanny? Sharum Sin asked. Of course I want to send a reply, Ianasir exclaimed. Why are you not already taking down my words? Do you think that I'm talking to you? I want to speak to Nanny. Sharum Sin reached for his wax tablet, which he had written on, and smoothed again 1,000 times before transferring the words to a clay tablet where they were fixed. As Ianasir paced the room, Sharum Sin wrote. And it really paints the picture of this merchant striding about and just shouting words at the scribe who yeah. takes them down and possibly translates them into a more proper form of address as well.
Probably.
Yeah. Should I talk about the last one right
yes,
now?
Yes, please do.
Because the last one is also an amazing piece of writing, where Nanny comes. Okay, it's called Pay Me Baby, Treat Me Right by Tricatalar. And so Nanny comes to Ianasir to complain in person.
Yeah.
And they resolve matters. And Ianasir distracts him with sex, basically. And it's amazing. And my favorite part of it is the end, which is written in the style of the tablets. So, excerpt from a tablet found in Ianasir's storeroom. Incorrigible Roj, the gods of Marduk and Samas may keep you in good health, but it will not be on account of my prayers or good wishes. Do not think I have forgotten what you owe me. When we were together, you said, later, my flower, it is ill-mannered to speak of business in the bedroom, and surely your Inanna manifested in human form to please me in all ways a man can be pleased. And by the gods, whatever you want shall be delivered to you if only you do not stop. And I did as you asked, but you did not do as you had promised. You did not go to retrieve the silver while I purchased figs and wine, but instead remained naked in your bed and distracted me upon my return. Why do you continue to treat me with such discourtesy and insolence, and after I ventured through enemy territory to see you? No other lover treats me with such disrespect. Instead they ply me with gifts and fine foods. How have you treated me in love? You have whispered sweet words, but given me nothing. Now it is up to you to make amends. In half a moon's time, I will be in the city of Ur, and you will come to me there and make amends, or I shall exercise against you my right of rejection, because you have not treated me as a lover should.
Beautifully written.
It is.
Amazing.
And this is what I love about fanfiction as well, when they get the style of the original writing just perfectly right. like this one did.
Yeah.
But twists it to like another story.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Now I want to look into more historic fan fiction.
I will dig up all of it for you.
Great. Maybe you want to hear more about it too, listeners. Also, if you have ever written historic fan fiction, we want to see that.
And if you ever have written fan of history fan fiction, send it in.
Hey, what? This is not in our script.
Or start doing it now.
Oh, maybe. We do need content, so... thank you, Alba.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you here.
It was so much fun.
I want to talk a bit about the future of the podcast. As I said before, I am in need of funding, so you can support the podcast at patreon.com/fanofhistory. I'm also in need of writing, so if you want to write scripts for the podcast, let me know. I do have two other guests, co-hosts, coming up, so I guess I will be doing a rotating scheme of co-hosts and subjects for the time being. I will not tell you what they will talk about, because nothing is written in stone yet.
Or in clay.
Sorry, I had to. But if it was written in cuneiform on clay, we couldn't change it, at least. Mm-hmm. The YouTube channel still lives, and all of my true crime YouTube channels have been banned by YouTube because of all the murder from earning any money. But the Fan of History channel actually still gets like $5 ad revenue every month. So yes, go there and subscribe. All the episodes are there, and also all the original YouTube shows I did back in the day. And you can help us also by giving us reviews on iTunes. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Horning, or on Instagram on Dan Horning. You have to put the umlaut of the O. Do you want the listeners of Fan of History to contact you, Alba?
No.
She has absolutely no contact information.
No, I lurk on the internet. Yeah. And they're always watching.
You can send comments to the Fan of History Facebook if you want. And that's about all we had this time. Thank you, Alba. Thank you, Ian Nasir and Nani, for your 88-year-old conflict.
And thank you all the amazing fanfiction writers, because this was so good.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider supporting us on Patreon, patreon.com/fanofhistory. Just a dollar an episode would help us out. Thanks, and see you next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.